97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good morning to you. Glad you're in here for the Mark Cox Morning Show today. We've got Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman, Sue Thomas in here getting ready to get you to work. Even got a special guest in the studio this morning. If you're watching on the cameras as we are live on X and Rumble and YouTube and Facebook this morning, Carl's even blown it up bigger for you. And the guy's pointing at me. I'm a little nervous back here. Actually, one of my cutouts of Donald Trump standing here.
Don't say he's a cutout. He's not just a cutout. Donald Trump's actually in the studio.
He looks shiny, doesn't he? His hair's perfect, though. There's no wind in that picture, for sure.
Not wearing a hat.
He's not wearing a hat.
Have you ever seen Donald Trump wear a hat?
I have.
All the time.
He wore a hat to rallies.
Whenever he's outside.
Now I'm trying to picture him where I'm have to Google. This
is the red MAGA hat.
He's worn the red MAGA hat. For sure. Maybe he needs one of those Elon Musk hats. One of the
black
the
ones are MAGA. Cool. Yeah, yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah, those are pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, I forget. Anyway, hats all the time.
President was out and about and... he was busy yesterday. So was Kamala Harris. She did a town hall on CNN. Once again, lots of word salad. And the Democrats, like David Axelrod, are admitting that it was a lot of word salad. And once again, not a lot of content. But of course, she's messaging to a different crowd than you and me right now. Let's put it that way. We'll get to all of that coverage for today. We're going to talk to Congressman Jim Talent coming up at 7:20. We're going to get to Dr. Timothy Faber at the bottom of the hour. He's a pastor. He is a lobbyist on behalf of the Missouri Baptist Convention down in Jeff City. He is a resident down by the Lake of the Ozarks near Camdenton, and he's completely opposed to Amendment 5, which would put a casino down there. In addition to whatever the Native Americans are planning to build, this would be a separate casino. And if you've looked at my voter guide, you know I'm a no on 5 anyway. I wanted to find somebody who lived down there to talk about it. We're going to talk to Dr. Timothy Faber at 7:35 this morning. But first, I want to get to our top stories, Carl. Please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Donald Trump is increasingly unhinged and unstable. And in a second term, people like John Kelly would not be there.
Oh, Harris really playing up the John Kelly stuff yesterday, which has been denied by every single person who worked with him or the president at that point in time. And oddly, he waited 4 years to make his allegations.
A projector is essentially just shining a light onto a surface like that. But still, local officials say that shining that political message onto the tower isn't allowable under city codes.
they briefly improved the Arnold Water Tower until the city made them stop. Somebody put up a huge Trump Vance sign projected onto it. It is no more.
Challenger Lucas Kuntz teamed up with CNN's Adam Kinzinger for a photo op at a gun range. Should have been a layup. But then Kuntz wounded a journalist.
Yeah, we're getting national attention for that one again. Have I been mispronouncing Adam Kinzinger's name for all these years?
Unsure.
He's the second one, including Josh Hawley, who calls him Kinzinger. Like Kissinger. Kinzinger. I don't know what the hell it is. He's a Democrat now. He used to be a Republican.
Release. They are shooting ARs at steel targets that are 10 yards away. They had reporters standing downrange. They have tannerite downrange. It's explosive. I mean, if the shrapnel had instead hit the explosives, they'd all be dead.
Yes, it's true. Josh Hawley and a lot of people there pointing out the idiotic actions of Lucas Kuntz this week out near Kansas City. They didn't go to a shooting range. They went to they went to a private farm, and they were shooting. He said 10 yards. It looked a little further to me than that, but whether it's 10 yards or 25 yards, the idea that you would shoot a projectile from a .223, which tends to be a high-velocity round, is insane. Can I just tell you that? It's insane. Of course, the reporter, we still haven't heard from the reporter that I know of. Have you, Kim?
No, I was just thinking I should check his Twitter.
Well, yeah, I mean, his TV station completely dropped the ball on this. And you have to kind of ask yourself why. Why have they not done a blowout story on their own reporter who was wounded by a United States Senate candidate in the state of Missouri? You know, if it was Josh Hawley, I feel that they would have done it. They've done nothing. The story isn't even in their top stories anymore at KSHB out in Kansas City.
He hasn't even tweeted about it, and I wouldn't be surprised if they told him specifically don't.
Maybe he's got PTSD or something. I don't know. It's the strangest situation I've ever seen that would not have been commented on. Here's what you need to know in case you are not a shooter. The minimum distance that you should shoot a .223 round at a steel target is 110 yards. That's a little more than the length of a football field, plus the end zone maybe, right? Think about that. Because they don't want the bullet to hit the steel and ricochet back and hit you, and it's not going to ricochet 110 yards. So that's a safe distance. But there are other minimum distances for shooting at steel targets. For a pistol, you should be at least 10 yards, except for certain calibers. For a 300 Win Mag, 300 yards. This guy had a very nice-looking AR, that is Lucas Kuntz and Adam Kinzinger, with a scope on it. And they were shooting at a target 20 yards away.
I'm reading the KSHB article, which again is where the reporter is from, and Kuntz blames it on the shooting range. He says Kuntz told a different KSHB 41 reporter his campaign relied on the gun range's safety protocols. So I wonder how they feel about that one.
Yeah.
It's your fault that this happened.
Who in the world set up those protocols? I'm sure the NRA and every shooter in the world would love to know the answer to that one. Here was Hawley, though, on the whole situation with Kuntz and what people need to understand about him.
Oh, listen, there is just no saving him from this kind of inanity. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. Sean, you look at that picture that he himself released. They are shooting ARs at steel targets that are 10 yards away. They had reporters standing downrange. They have Tannerite downrange. It's explosive. I mean, if the shrapnel had instead hit the explosives, they'd all be dead. The reporter could be dead. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. And yet this guy wants to be in the United States Senate. And, Sean, the rest of his positions are just as nutty. This is a guy who wants to ban all gas and diesel, ban it. A guy who is for men playing women's sports. I mean, it is nuttiness all the way around.
All the way around. I've shot at Tannerite before. Can I just tell you that? But we had it on an island in the middle of a lake, probably 150 yards away.
Did you hit it?
We did hit it with a 308. And, I mean, it blew a hole in that island. I mean, it a huge crater where it was. Had that gone off on that shooting bench, I think Senator Hawley's right. At least one of them would have probably been killed.
Why were the reporters also not way far away?
I don't get that. So many questions as we watch Lucas Kuntz's political aspirations go up in smoke. Coming up, we're going to get to former Senator Jim Talent. We'll get his take as we're down to the final 12 days before the election. Stay tuned.
And Sean, it's all fakery. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, this is not a real range. This is in somebody's backyard. They did it with Adam Kinzinger to get a photo op. They don't know what they're doing, clearly. And they almost killed a guy. I mean, you think about this. That shrapnel hits the reporter, who, by the way, is down range of these weapons. I mean, I laugh only because he's safe, thank goodness, but the guy could have been killed. And these guys, all in the service of a phony photo op. It is such a phony campaign.
Former Missouri Senator Jim Talent is on the phone this morning. And Jim, you know, I'm thinking back to your illustrious political career, and I don't remember any staged photo ops at shooting ranges. Did you ever try anything like that?
No, I did not. And I was going to call it a tremendous political misfire, but I shouldn't be punning about, you know, when a guy got injured, and it could have been much worse, as Senator Hawley said. So this is all sort of politics by, you know, by event or by show event and this sort of thing, instead of focusing on the real issues, which is that Senator Hawley's done a real good job of representing Missouri's values and Missouri's people in the Senate. And I think he's going to get reelected, and he should be.
Yeah, well, I wonder, you know, the story is getting a lot of traction even nationally. And I think Coots was going to lose anyway. But, I mean, among his base, it doesn't hurt him. I just don't know if there were people outside of that who might be impacted by a disaster like that.
Yeah, well, sure. It could be. But I think these elections are going to go off mostly on the underlying issues that matter to the American people. And like, take the national election. I mean, people are hurting, and they're hurting because of policies that the Democrats own on the border, on crime, on inflation. And I think people want to change, which is why Harris is trying, although she's not a good enough candidate to be able to pull it off, to run as a candidate of change. Of course, it's hard because she's been in power the last close to 4 years and has agreed with and supported all the policies that are hurting us now.
Well, exactly. And I think that's why it's clear Kamala's strategy, while it has been the case, but especially in these last 2 weeks, has been just, let's trash Trump. Let's compare him to Hitler. I mean, how effective is that really going to be to drive people to the polls?
And, you know, I've been around long enough to know that they eventually always resort to that. I think they've called every presidential candidate. I mean, I was reading a story the other day about how Harry Truman was doing that in 1948 to Tom Dewey. The two problems they've got are, as I mentioned before, a terrible record to run on, and a record that's where the policies have not only been bad, but they've been really hurtful to people.
Yes.
And everybody knows it. And then the second problem is they got a candidate whose weakness is in all candor, that she just doesn't have any strengths. I mean, she's not authentic. She's not intellectually curious. She's not warm. She's not empathetic. She's not good on her feet. And she's not prepared. I mean, you know, usually with a candidate, you have some strengths you can build on. But in her case, that isn't really there. And that's why, you know, the Democratic voters would never have chosen her in a primary, and I don't think the professionals would have picked her if they'd had a choice.
No, but she tried to explain that yesterday, why she sometimes doesn't give specifics. Listen to this.
So I may not be quick to have the answer as soon as you ask it about a specific policy issue sometimes, because I'm going to want to research it. I'm going to want to study it. I'm kind of a nerd sometimes, I confess.
Not much of an excuse 10 days out from a national election, is it?
Mark, when you've been in politics a long time, this is a good opportunity, you know, for me to make a point. When you've been in politics a long time and in government, you've encountered all these issues in one form or another.
Yeah.
Healthcare, education, taxes, the border. And so your average politician, whether you're on either side of the aisle, will have absorbed enough information about that so that if you get to ask a question, You have a background that you can refer to produce an acceptable answer. But it's clear that she has not absorbed that. And, you know, before she became the candidate, the mainstream press actually reported on that. They said how frustrated her staff was that they would try and prepare her for interviews. She wouldn't read what they gave her, and then she would blame them when the interview went badly. And I think she has a career of this. And so, no, she when she says she has to research it, she has to try and reconstruct what everybody else in politics who's been around a long time has already learned. I mean, She's really working from ground zero on all that.
Well, Jim, we always appreciate your insight on this. So next week, we're going to want you to pontificate on what you think is going to happen on Election Day.
Okay. I'm good at pontificating.
I'll just prepare you for that now. We're going to be just a few days out at that point, and looking forward to that. Jim, have a great week.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you. Appreciate that. Jim Talent there. Coming up, Dr. Timothy Faber on Amendment 5, the Lake of the Ozarks casino issue that you're going to have to vote on. We'll be right back.
The events that shape this world are happening fast. Keep a level head and stay tuned to 97.1 FM Talk for Democracy 2024.
Welcome back. You know, one of the amendments you're going to be voting on, if you haven't voted already, if you're voting between now and Election Day, is Amendment 5 in the state of Missouri. Lake of the Ozarks casino license. Here's how the official ballot reads. Do you want to amend the Missouri Constitution to allow the Gaming Commission to issue one additional gaming boat license to operate on the portion of the Osage River from the Missouri River to the Bagnell Dam? And then it talks about state revenue would be appropriated to early childhood literacy programs in public institutions of elementary education. Doesn't say how much, and it doesn't say which programs, but once again, a gambling issue that's tied to somehow funding education. So they think you'll vote for it because it's going to fund education. I was interested in finding out more about this, and I wanted to talk to somebody who lived in the area. We have Dr. Timothy Faber on the line. He is with the legislative director for the Missouri Baptist Convention and represents a coalition of churches down near the Lake of the Ozarks. And Timothy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. I'm fine.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for giving us a minute this morning to talk more about Amendment 5. You know, I think a lot of people up here in the St. Louis area kind of feel like, you know, this is out of sight, out of mind. It's at the Lake of the Ozarks. Why should they care about it? I'm a no because I watched the show Ozark, and I feel like Marty and Wendy Bird are going to walk out in a commercial for this thing at some point. It just kind of stinks to high heaven. What's your take on it?
I totally agree. It stinks to high heaven. It's interesting that the rest of the state gets to decide what happens in my backyard.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm anxious to hear your take on that because we haven't spoken directly to somebody who lives down there in the area. All we're seeing are these slickly produced ads running on the TV.
Right. And those ads talk about education, but many of them don't even talk about the fact that it's going to be a casino.
Yeah.
And the billboards and signs that we're seeing, you know, support education, vote yes on Amendment 5, no mention at all of a casino. So it's dishonest advertising, for one thing. But the county of Jackson over by Kansas City got to vote on a tax for the Chiefs Stadium, and the rest of the state didn't get to vote on that. Now, I understand this is a constitutional issue, which is why the whole state gets to vote on it, but you would think that the people who live here ought to have the right of veto or something to say, no, we don't want it.
Well, yeah. I assume the overwhelming majority of people who actually live in that area would say, yeah, we don't want it.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, have there been polls in the community down there to back that up that you know of, Timothy?
I don't know of any official polls, but when you're just talking to people around the community, most of them do not want it. There's a few local politicians and money people who want it, but the average citizen living around here, we don't want it.
I listened to an interview the other day with the mayor, I believe, of Lake Ozark, who was making the argument that property, that sales tax revenue is down. A lot of smaller mom and pop businesses that were lodges and all that have been sold, and now there are condos in place of those, and they need the revenue. What's your take on that argument?
Well, I believe that the casino is just going to worsen that problem. When a casino comes in and they have a steady stream of income from losing bettors, they're going to be able to pay their workers a very more competitive wage. And their restaurants and stuff will have subsidies from the gambling industry so they can make their foods more affordable. But the local mom-and-pop shops, you know, they're struggling to pay minimum wage already, and they're struggling to provide their goods and services at a competitive cost. And a casino is simply going to make that matter worse, and we'll see a lot more of our smaller businesses go out of business.
Yeah. Are they in need of business at the Lake of the Ozarks? I mean, when I'm there in season, it's nuts down there.
Yeah.
It is nuts. And the Lake of the Ozarks area used to be a pretty seasonal community. And then this time of year, it would be fairly dead. But since the pandemic, it has truly become a year-round destination for people. Our population in the three-county area has swelled by several thousands just in the last few years. We don't need economic activity. I mean, some wouldn't hurt, like any community, but we don't need it.
Yeah. Dr. Timothy Faber is our guest right now. Kim, did you have another question?
Well, I was just kind of wondering if you actually think this is going to pass, because the problem is people are watching these commercials, they're driving by these billboards, they're not taking the time to actually do their own research, which they should, and they're going to see, oh, this is going to help the schools, oh, this is going to help, da-da-da-da-da, and then they're just going to say, yeah, let's go ahead and pass this.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a lot of voters who don't bother to really look at the issues, and they just go on our slogans or ads. But when we look at the ballot language, it says the money is going to go for early childhood education. Well, who's going to be opposed to that, right?
Right.
The problem is the other 13 casinos in the state of Missouri, their proceeds, according to statute, RSMO 313.822, their proceeds go to the Gaming Proceeds for Education Fund, which is a designated fund within the state treasury. But this proposed amendment does not require that. It simply says that it will go to early childhood education. So we don't know if that money is going to go to this education fund or if it's going to go directly to the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education or where it's going to go. For all we know, they may give it to Dolly Parton for her imagination library.
Yeah, it's true. And we don't all those are questions that we don't have answers to, including why there's this rush to get this done ahead of an effort, I understand, by Native Americans down there to put their own casino in. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct to the extent that they're trying to do that. But the two issues are totally unrelated.
Right, right.
The Native Americans, the Osage Nation, are pursuing a casino based on the premise that this is their heritage land. But what they fail to recognize is that in 1808, at the Treaty of Fort Osage, the Osage Nation sold the land that they had in Missouri. So we have purchased, the Louisiana purchased, then we purchased again from the Osage Nation this land. It was a square legal deal. And yet they're coming back trying to claim it. Now, if the Department of the Interior, federal level, approves it, and if Missouri's governor signs off on it, and they open a casino, once they do that, they can open casinos anywhere they want to in southern Missouri, anything that used to be Osage land.
Wow.
So it wouldn't just be one. They would have as many as they want, just like in Oklahoma and other places.
Well, two separate issues here. Dr. Faber, is there a resource you would recommend where people could go and find out more about your opposition or the opposition to this casino?
Well, unfortunately, no. But okay. I'm willing to take phone calls or answer email. So my email address would be Timothy@Ephesians412.com.
Okay.
And I would be happy to, you know, respond to emails from folks. I'm not much of a website developer. Sorry.
That's okay. Dr. Timothy Faber, listen, we appreciate your insight on this. Thank you for your time and best of luck on this.
Well, thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Good talk.
Everybody vote no on 5.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that. That's on my voter guide. In fact, at 971talk.com, you can go there and find out about it. Here's why I'm suspicious. Jay Ashcroft said it didn't get enough signatures to even be on the ballot. A Cole County judge overrode his decision and put it on the ballot anyway. That tells me there's big money in this, and they want it done, and they want it done now, and they're willing to do anything, including lie to you about how much it's going to help education, vaguely, just to get it done. Somebody's getting rich off this, and it's not the people living at the Lake of the Ozarks. So I am a no on 5. Download the voter guide at 971talk.com. We're going to get Kim on a whim coming up in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Before we begin, we have to address something that's very important happening today, Mark.
Yes, we do. Carl, is the computer up over here? We have to do this. Listen.
This is the Mark Cox Show because my dad's the best.
That is my little girl when she was much younger, maybe around, I don't know, 6 or 7. on the radio. She wanted to be on the radio, and that's why I got her to record that promo for me. Today, she's turning 17 years old.
Happy birthday, Ginger.
Yeah, happy birthday. She's driving to school right now by herself. Be safe. We love you. The poor thing has got, she's got school all day. She's not going to get home until like 9 o'clock tonight. So her entire birthday is going to be pretty much at school and play practice and all that stuff.
That means you have to celebrate this weekend.
I know. We're planning to. So
you
we'll
got
have
that, the big old gift, the brand new car with the bow on it, right?
She's
waiting
driving
in the driveway.
She's driving the car right now. So
oh,
that,
okay.
That be, if it's not brand new, she got it a year ago.
Well, happy birthday, Ginger. I hope you have a great day despite having to be in school quite literally all day.
That's right. Love you, honey.
All right, so I found this story and I just had to share it because a number of you might be going to vote today. I myself am hoping to get in if I can actually make it through the line. But it sounds like the once routine business of running these elections here in the United States is no more. It's so contentious in some parts of the country that these counties are going to, you might say, extreme measures to try to protect these election workers because they're saying they're getting a lot of these threats. So, for example, in parts of Arizona and in Georgia, what they're doing is they're having armed guards, police officers, some security of some sort at every precinct pretty much that they can. They have drones surveying the area. They've even given some election workers bulletproof vests because they're saying it's so hostile.
In Georgia?
In some parts of, yes.
Like, what, are they afraid somebody's going to block the polling places?
Cobb County, Georgia, the sheriff will have officers at every early voting site and patrolling local precincts. The county has set up an emergency operations center at the local 911 call center where the sheriff's office, fire department, and local utilities will be monitoring CCTVs and social media to keep an eye on everything from traffic and long lines to any potential disturbances at the polls.
Hey, folks, that's not how they're cheating. They're not cheating by through voter intimidation. I don't think that's the problem. I mean, unless you've got a specific threat to a specific polling location, why do you need armed security there?
I don't know. Let me just read you, though. There's a number of articles talking about this, but okay. NBC News has one, so you can imagine that this is going to be slanted left. But it says Maricopa County, Arizona has been a hotbed of conspiracy theories, protests, and threats for years, fueled by baseless voter fraud claims by former President Donald Trump and his allies. We are the problem, guys.
Baseless.
We are to blame for all of the issues here in the United States, right?
Of course. And now we have armed guards. I want to know.
A bulletproof vest some of these election workers are wearing.
Where that has been proven that there's some sort of voter intimidation going on. Where that's stopping somebody from walking into a polling place, showing their ID, hopefully, getting a ballot, voting and leaving.
There's a supposed former Marine and elected county clerk in Adams County near Denver said someone followed him home after a recent election. The local sheriff recommended that he start wearing body armor.
Oh my gosh.
Apparently there had been supposed issues. They're saying in Michigan last month that the city clerk received a frightening voicemail. This was days after the 2020 election. So I guess they're basing some of this off of what happened 4 years ago. A bunch of F-bombs and threatening this person. So it sounds like they are not messing around. So if you see your local election worker wearing a bulletproof vest, you know why.
Laugh at them because that is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard, for sure. All right, coming up, we've got Brian Westbrook from Coalition Life talking about an event he's got coming up where you can educate yourself on Amendment 3, our buddy Griff Jenkins, and Shannon Bream from Fox News Sunday on the latest town hall for Kamala Harris. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.